morning.
Good morning.
We are in the summer mode. It's beautiful outside, nice and cool today, and a beautiful sunshine and low humidity. But it's good that you come to God's house for worship this day. Just a special welcome to all of you, and I don't think we have any visitors here. We might have a visitor or two. It's been a special welcome to visitors, and want to invite all of you to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship right beside us in the kitchen. And in saying that, there is a need for greeters and coffee hour hosts in August on the second and third Sunday. So there's a sign-up sheet out in the hallway if you would like to volunteer in that way during the coming month. I want to call your attention to the back page of the bulletin for the calendar this week. And yes, we are in summer mode, and most boards and committees are in recess or not at least meeting regularly. But Bible study will meet on Tuesday morning. We will begin our study of the Gospel of John. We've sort of gone through the four Gospels, and we went a little longer in Matthew than I expected, but that was okay. And we will be starting John on Tuesday. And also, there is an insert in your bulletin on the reverse side of the hymn, reminding us of the yard sale coming up on Saturday, August 12th. And that is if you would like to rent a table or space, or if you would like to bring some things down for us to sell for you, for the church. We appreciate those donations. Talk to Steve Butland with any questions that you may have about that. You can see him after the service today. Also, a special welcome to David Williams, who will be providing special music as our soloist today during the service. So at this time, I invite you to turn in the hymnal, selection number 624, for our responsive call to worship. We'll be reading a variety of verses from both the Old and the New Testament as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship, so let us read responsively from God's holy word. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith.
Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus.
I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy
and find grace to help us in our time of need.
This is the confidence we have in approaching God.
If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us.
And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him.
So we know and rely on the love of God has for us.
He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High
will rest in the shadow of the Almighty.
I will say of the Lord,
he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust.
Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk is blameless. We are here to worship God this morning. Our opening hymn is O For a Faith That Will Not Shrink, number 447. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together.
Will not
Let's pray together. Oh God, at times we know the pain of separation and loss, lamenting what once was and never will be again. In those times, remind us of your power and your faithfulness to do more than what we can imagine. May we live with boldness, trusting your promises, for you did not give us a spirit of timidity, but rather a spirit of power and of love. We pray in Jesus' name, and now join in praying as he taught. So we pray aloud together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Be seated.
I see Naomi is here. This is special for her based on her comments at the town hall meeting. And this is the closest we can come as an octogenarian to.
Flower in the seed and apple tree, in cocoons a hidden promise, butterflies will soon be free. In the cold and snow of winter, there's a spring that waits to be unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see. A song in every silence, seeking a word and melody. There's a dawn in every darkness, bringing a hope to you and me. From the past will come the future, what it holds a mystery. Unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see. Beginning in our time infinity, in our doubt there is believing, in our life eternity, in our death our resurrection, and at last our victory. Unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see. Unrevealed until its season, something yet unknown, which God alone can see.
Thank you, David and Marilyn.
open now the opportunity of sharing celebrations and concerns with one another as we go to prayer. We want to keep Joan Ristine in prayer. Joan is in rehab. I learned last Monday. She fell 2 weeks ago, I guess, at home, was in the hospital for a few days and then transferred. So she's in Melrose in rehab and hopes to be able to get home soon, maybe a couple more weeks before she gets there. We want to keep Joan in prayer. We want to keep Paul Patrick in prayer. I believe Paul is now home for rehab. And also keep May Elkman and Helen Fleet in prayer as well. Do you have any requests for prayer this morning that you'd like to share? Mark?
Yes, we're going to be messengers tomorrow, carrying the greetings from the First Baptist Church to Connie Tubes.
Oh, great.
Up in Maine.
Wonderful.
If anybody has any special messages, let us know and we'll carry them up.
Connie Tubes is the wife of former pastor, Dr. George Tubes. So Mark and Donnie get to see her tomorrow. That's wonderful.
Donnie? And on Saturday, though.
Yes.
My friend Ralph Pastor with us.
Mark mentioned that this morning. We've been praying for your friend that was very, very ill, and we expected him to die. And God has called him home. But you know, it is sad, but it's also a celebration that he's no longer suffering. But it is a sad situation. Also wonderful that you're going to see Connie. We do send our collective greetings to her, and we may have some personal greetings as well. We'll send pictures. Anyone else have a prayer request this morning? If not, then let's go to God. If we have prayer, something that I mentioned or something that, you know, that has been heard here this day, something that's on your heart. So let's pray together. Opportunity of coming together in this place to worship you. Lord, we just are thankful that you have received our private and individual prayers and ask now that you would hear and receive our corporate prayers as well. Lord, we do lift up to you those who are ill today and just pray for your blessing of healing upon their lives as it is according to your will for them. We pray especially for those who are in hospital or rehabilitation, those who are awaiting diagnoses or surgery or treatments, that maybe it's a time of anxiety for them, where we pray for calmness in their hearts as they await what comes next for their lives. We also lift up to you this morning, O God, those who are in mourning today. You mentioned the family, Ralph's family, but also other families who may be sensing the separation by death of a loved one. We just pray for those that need that type of comfort and peace from your spirit this day of God. Lord, we also are conscious of many ways that we live in our world. And at times, Lord, we're not following what you would want us to do. You call us to follow you and have you supremely in our lives. Lord, we pray this day for those who are addicted to other things that have pulled them away, that have control of them, whether it's a situation, whether it's an individual, whether it's a substance, whatever it is, O God, that has control of their lives. We pray, O God, that through your power, they may be freed from that. We pray, O God, for those also who are being held in bondage today against their will. We pray, O God, that they may be freed very soon. Lord, we also pray for your justice. At times we question of what justice is. As we have seen court decisions in recent weeks, O God, that we as human beings may say, that's not right. Lord, we know that our justice system has gone through the process, and we feel that some may still need to be incarcerated, or others may should be free because they haven't done as much. Lord, wherever those people stand, we just pray for your justice. We pray that we may have eyes like you have, that we may find hardening and the mercy that you have that comes so difficult to us at times, where we struggle at times to wonder where you are in our world. We look around and wonder, you know, we see destruction, we see people not caring about one another, and just wonder, where is God in all of this? We pray, oh God, that you will reveal yourself to us and to others in dramatic ways, in quiet ways. However people need to encounter you, they may recognize you, they may turn to you, because you do have the promise of eternal life. Lord, we worship you, we worship Jesus Christ, who brings that promise to us. It's in his name that we offer all of these things. Amen.
Amen.
We have an opportunity to worship now by presenting our tithes and our gifts as the ushers receive the morning offering.
when we present these tithes and these gifts to you and ask that you would bless them and bless us as we offer praises to you in the community as well and share the good news of Jesus Christ. We ask this in his name. Amen.
Amen.
We'll be reading the scripture this morning.
Reading from the book of Acts, chapter 17, verses 16 to 34. While Paul was waiting for them, meeting Silas and Timothy in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace day by day with those who happened to be there. A group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to dispute with him, some of them asking, "What is this babbler trying to say?" Others remarked, "He seemed to be advocating foreign gods." They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. Then they took him and brought him to a meeting of the Areopagus, where they said to him, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? You are bringing some strange ideas to our ears, and we want to know what they mean." All the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' Now what you worship as something unknown, I am going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. And he's not served by human hands, as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him. Though he's not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead. When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered, but others said, "We want to hear you again on this subject." At that, Paul left the council. A few men became followers of Paul and believed. Among them were Dionysius, a member of the Areopagus, and a woman named Damaris, and a number of others. And thus endeth the reading of Acts 17, 16 to 34.
Thank you, Marilyn. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read and heard this morning from your holy word, a time in the early church that was challenging and yet exciting. Lord, we thank you that for the Apostle Paul, and at times we struggle with what he wrote and what he meant. We thank you for his boldness and for the education and training that he had and his willingness to stand up for his faith as you had called him to do and to share who he knew you to be. Lord, we pray for that type of boldness in our lives as well, that we too may share our knowledge and our understanding and our love for you with others, that they too may come to know you as their personal God. We pray this day, O Lord, that our hearts and minds may be open to receive a word from you that may help us in our daily living. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Have you read or heard or watched the news lately? Whether you are a news junkie, just try to keep informed on the major issues, or avoid news reports altogether, there is so much going on today that may be troubling to many people, such as, and I couldn't cover everything, but here's a smattering of ideas. Terrorism around the world, where benign objects like backpacks and vehicles have been turned into weapons of mass destruction. Cyber hacking, where personal and corporate data is often no longer private or protected. Climate change. No matter where you stand on this issue, there are noticeable changes taking place in the environment. Droughts and floods, warmer than usual seasons, melting ice caps, etc., etc. North Korea continues to test long-range missiles. They are projected to have nuclear capabilities within about a year. Other superpower nations, such as China and Russia, and I'm not going to go into all the details there. Pick up your newspaper or your magazine or check online for more information about them. Our own federal government, the legislative and executive branches seem to have difficulty working within their own area and with each other. The vast misuse of opioid drugs and access to guns, both leading to senseless deaths and leaving numerous families mourning the unexpected and untimely deaths of loved ones. We live in a desperate and dangerous world. But this is not the first generation to feel threatened. If we were to review history, we would find numerous other times when people may have felt unsafe. Some of us may have lived through other times when our safety and our security was threatened. And I'll get back to that a little later. But when we feel that way, we often ask, where is God? Is God in control? And I want us to pause for a moment and look at today's scripture, where the Apostle Paul finds himself in Athens, one of the most cosmopolitan centers of his day. The intellectuals of that city loved to debate and often gathered at the city forum to do so. Paul was never one to miss an opportunity, so he seized the moment there to present his case for the God he worshipped and the God that he served. The Athenians worshipped many gods, but didn't know much about Paul's God. They constructed many altars to various gods, but Paul noticed one with the inscription reading, "To an unknown God." Paul viewed that altar as a sign of a human need to worship his God, the true God. And he said, in effect, to those gathered, "This altar shows that you have the yearning to worship, but you don't know who to worship." And then Paul proceeded to tell them about the God of heaven and earth, who made the world and everything and everyone in it. He even quoted one of their own poets, referring to God, "In him we live and move and have our being." In saying this, Paul asserted that not only his own life, but also the lives of the citizens of Athens were in God's hands. God was in control, even if they did not know this God. Perhaps some of us understand that intuitively, because there's something in our hearts that wants to connect with someone or something bigger than we are. But for a moment, I'd like to, let's transplant the Apostle Paul into a contemporary scene. What do you suppose Paul would say if he showed up not in ancient Athens, but in New York City, Chicago, Houston, Los Angeles, or even Boston? What if he taught not on the brow of a Greek hill surrounded by temples, but inside a Starbucks, handing out mocha lattes all around? He might begin, "Americans, I see how extremely religious you are in every way." But instead of speaking of temples to unknown gods, he might say something like this, "I observed how many of you are fond of saying, 'I'm spiritual, but not religious.' I am aware how increasing numbers of you never cross the threshold of a church, a synagogue, or even a mosque, but spend hours browsing religious books at Barnes & Noble. Many of you wear crosses around your necks, but hardly know why. You finger them in moments of fear or anxiety and feel vaguely comforted. You sit at home, channel surfing the televangelists and religious talk shows, hoping to glean some spiritual comfort, but you never linger long enough to submit yourselves to their teachings. You have an insistent curiosity about things religious and vow that one day you'll do something about it, but somehow you never find the time. You just never find the time." Paul is calling on his listeners to believe that there is a God. But some people argue that there's no proof, nothing whatsoever in the way of scientific proof, one way or the other, that God exists in our world or is sovereign over it. We aren't able to prove or disprove the claim that in him we live and move and have our being. Those who believe in God do so by faith. The New Testament book of Hebrews tells us that faith means being sure of things we hope for and knowing that something is real, even if we do not see it. It is by faith we understand that the whole world was made by God's command, so that what we see was made by something that cannot be seen. So how does this faith help us in today's uncertain world? Some of us are old enough to remember the late 1950s, when life, for many people, even people of faith, was a scary proposition. The Cold War had escalated to a point where duck and cover drills were practiced on a regular basis in schools. Thousands of preachers used the nuclear age as a signal for the end of the world. Many people believed a war between the United States and Soviet Union would soon bring about the destruction of humanity. A newspaper editorial of the day signaled the attitude of millions when it announced, "God is dead." And with the power to destroy billions resting in the hands of just a few people, it at least seemed like God had stepped back and had become a spectator. In the midst of all this hopelessness, a child's voice reassured the world that God was still in charge. Lori London, a British teenager, stepped into the recording studio and cut a song that was over a century, maybe even a century and a half old. When released, millions seized the song, "He's Got the Whole World in His Hands," as if it were a life preserver thrown to a drowning shipwreck that victim. People all over the world simply could not get enough of this affirmation that God was out there somewhere and was caring about them. That song, "He's Got the Whole World in His Hands," was born in the fields of the American South. It was written by a slave whose name we will never know. The man or woman likely experienced more trouble and more suffering than any person in the modern age. He or she was not considered human by a society that viewed bondage as a necessary evil. So the writer of this hymn was not in charge of the present, nor had control over the future. His or her owner could beat him or her to death, and there would be no punishment. He or she could be sold on an auction block at a minute's notice. Yet in the face of a life with no promise of freedom, this slave found solace in faith. Somehow this person still believed that there was a loving God who was in charge. There is strange irony in having the words of a slave, a man or woman who truly was the least of these, remind the free people living in the most powerful country in the world that God is in charge. Yet when the recording of "He's Got the Whole World in His Hands" was released, that was just what happened. Many turned to the Bible to search for hope, and they found it. A child's voice and a slave's words were the wake-up call for millions of insecure people. The world survived the Cold War. The destruction that millions predicted did not happen. In retrospect, it seemed that God was in control. And those who did not succumb to panic and instead relied on faith were correct. Today, there are still millions looking at every bump in the road as proof that the world is about to end. They live in such fear, they fail to enjoy the wonderful moments that they have that have been given to them. If a slave can see that God is alive and has a great plan for each life, if a slave can be a source, can be secure in faith, then surely we too, we can also. There are so many struggles and crises in our lives that we sometimes feel that nobody has the world in their hands. Nobody is at the wheel. Nobody is in control. We have so many questions that we often seem to be wondering and wandering in circles. But the Lord knows us and says to us, "I am not an unknown God. Come unto me. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You need not wander or wonder. You know me, and you know God, and I will be with you always, even to the end of the age." Let's pray together. Lord, we do live in dangerous and uncertain times. At times we do question, where are you? Why don't you take control? Lord, we just pray for your wisdom. And we just know that you have what is best for all of us. And sometimes we question that, Lord. Please forgive us when we do that. But Lord, help us to daily put our confidence in you. Help us to continually look for signs of your presence in our world and to lift those examples up and share that with others, to be beacons of hope and beacons of light where there is so much darkness. Lord, we just pray that one day when you call us home, that you'll say that we've been good and faithful servants, but Lord, that we have worshiped you, we have recognized you in this world, and that we have shared your presence with others, that they too may come to know you as a personal God, someone who cares and loves for them. And Lord, we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And our closing hymn this morning is He's Got the Whole World in His Hands, which is printed on the insert in the bulletin today. Tomorrow in God's hands. We lean toward the promise of things not yet seen. Go forth to embrace the future, empowered by the steadfast love of God. May the Lord bless and keep you now and forever. Amen.